Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this, our first broadcast of 2021. It's January the 10th, my birthday, by the way, 2021. And I want to welcome you all to the show. This is Bostonian, host of Money and Other Things Financial. And boy, do we have a story to cover tonight. I know you know what it is. And I would like you to call in and tell me about it. It's the event on Wednesday in the Capitol, last Wednesday. So give me a call. The call-in number is 914-803-4379. And you can come into the chat room, too. And if there's anybody in there, usually there isn't because we're on so late. But no one's in there. But anyway, you may be the first one and someone might join you and you can have a good talk for the new year about all the stuff that's going on. It's 32 degrees at airtime here in the hub, Boston, Massachusetts. And we've had a nice winter so far. We get through November, December, and we're almost halfway through January. So it hasn't been too bad. Only one really snowstorm to talk about, and that wasn't too much either. Anyway, I want to quick over these coronavirus statistics that I give you every 2 weeks. So let's start off with the latest on the infection, the latest on the pandemic. The global number of infected is now at 90,663,685. That was about 81 million 2 weeks ago. The active on a global level is 23,931,089, and that's up from 2,075,618. The number of deaths globally is 1,942,396, and that was 1,771,170 2 weeks ago. And the recovered is at 64 million, looks like about two thirds recover, 64,790,201. And that's up from about 57 million. So these numbers are, as I said before, very suspect of all these numbers and how they put them together. They have people that do it, but whether they do it with really trying to get the real numbers or just turn something out is what I'm concerned about, just like I am about the voting, and we're going to be talking about that. The voting, the inflation numbers, the Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers. Our government is a problem, ladies and gentlemen. We are not being well served. I mean, I'm going to talk about how what the percent is of the public, what the public thinks about the the government, and I think you already know. All right, let me continue. The USA figures infected 22,910,140, and that was about 19.5 million before, 2 weeks ago. And the active is 9,051,322, up from about 7.5 million. The number of deaths in the USA, 383,242, compared to 340,952. So that's up about 40,000 deaths in 2 weeks, so we'll say 20,000 a week. Even one is too many, but this pandemic is causing so many problems other than from the medical point of strictly the infection point of view, but from the psychological point of view, from the economic point of view. So it is something that we have to contend with and use our common sense and make your own decisions as you see fit, keeping in mind the legal requirements the government puts out. All right, the recovered amount is in the USA is 13,475,576. That's out of a total of about 23 million. So 23 million infected, 13 million recovered. So that leaves 10 million, and those are in the active category primarily. So a lot of them may be recovering. Some, of course, could die, and this is each person has to look at, evaluate things, and make sensible judgments. Seek help where you think it would be worth it, but do a lot of praying also. That's what I feel is the most important. All right, 18 countries are over 1 million cases. And that, believe it or not, is the same as it was before. So there's no more additional countries that have gone over a million infected people. Okay, so now we're going to switch off to the main story of the evening, and that is the rally, the mega rally in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. It was at July the 6th, the day after the Georgia elections, for the runoff races, which was on July the 5th. I went down to Washington, D.C. by Amtrak for 2 days. We left on Tuesday night, the 5th, and came back on Thursday morning. So we were in the accommodations for 2 nights, but the first day that we were there was mostly just getting acclimated and getting set up in our room and getting ready for the next day, cleaning up, etc. But on Wednesday was the big day, and of course there were all kinds of people there, and the best estimate I can come up with is 1 million people. But if you do research on different sites, you'll probably get figures all over the place as to how many were there. So you can look at the different videos, the pictures. I don't have a cell phone, but we have some pictures. The other three patriots that I was with all had cell phones, and they've been taking pictures. But I had my eyesight, and I saw what I saw, and I'll tell you about that right now. We were not in the main. There were basically two main sections of Trump supporters at the rally. It started about 10 a.m. on Wednesday. The activity started about 10 a.m. And the main purpose of the rally, why we went, was because we were not satisfied with the voting on the November 3rd presidential election. We did our own research and came to the conclusion that it was enough fraudulent votes in the six or seven battleground states that it needed to be investigated. We were there to support the efforts of the senators and representatives that were challenging the electors' count that Mike Pence was opening up on the at the time of the early afternoon. The president gave a speech, and he gave us words of encouragement. I didn't interpret anything that he was inciting violence. He spoke in the sense that he knows that we have trouble with the way this election was conducted. I'm not going to go into it all now, but basically revolved around the mail-in voting and the machine hardware and software tabulating. I have no proof that the machines did anything wrong, but I do have enough concern that I want it to be investigated, and that's what our government should be doing. We have the case of the Attorney General of Texas who said that the problems in Pennsylvania violated the Constitution, and he was suing for a remedy directly into the United States Supreme Court, and you all know the results of that, that the Supreme Court would not take the case, and they said it was due to inconsequential standing. And of course then you hear stories that John Roberts had an argument with the other justices that he didn't want to have a case where it would create violence in the Capitol, similar to the violence in some of the states during the summer. So is that a way for the Supreme Court to act? Basically, ladies and gentlemen, we are not being well served. I mean, how much does it take before we realize that? And I see it as mostly, it's in both parties. Nobody's perfect. The president's not perfect. But from my point of view, it's basically Marxism that is involved in our country to a big extent, and it's been gradually advancing for probably decades now. I've spoken about this in the past, and it's getting to the point where they are getting bolder and bolder in their efforts. So we were in the smaller crowd, which I can't quite fathom as to exactly where it was. It wasn't where the staging was for the inaugural. I didn't see any of that where I was sitting. I was looking at the Capitol, and we were having a good rally, singing songs. I remember singing God Bless America, and we're meeting with all kinds of people, what I consider to be true American patriots. One gentleman was in his late 70s. His wife had died sometime in the past, I don't know how many years, but he drove all the way from Texas by himself to support the movement. And this is where the vast majority of the Trump supporters were, in my opinion. There are extremists in all groups. You know, you have the extremes at the right and the extremes at the left. And the answers, of course, are in the middle. And I think the majority of our people there were in the middle. They weren't extremists. Now, there's you'll find talk on the internet about Antifa being infiltrating and being in disguise and acting as Trump supporters, and you have to do your own research, ladies and gentlemen. But I when I was there, I saw that we came because we were concerned with the fraudulent voting in the six states of two in the West, primarily is Nevada and Arizona, and two in the center of the country, which is Wisconsin and Michigan, and two toward the east side, which would be Pennsylvania and Georgia. And of course, we got word that the two seats in Georgia went to the Democrats. This was also somewhat of a shocking, but it may be also fraudulent voting, because I believe they were still using the Dominion machines and the Smartmatic. I know they were one of the 28 states in Georgia with it, that used that technology. So it's basically boils down to that we're not satisfied with our government, we're not satisfied with the vote, and we were there to let the people that were at the Electoral College count, protest or object, and then have a remedy. Ted Cruz had one remedy of a 10-day audit, and there were other thoughts, but the main thing, in my opinion, I personally think it should be a complete revote with the traditional ballots and not the Dominion machines. And the mail-in ballots, we have to have precise procedures and measures to ensure that there's no fraud on those ballots. But this virtually, my idea, I did send an email to the president in that regard, but he has so many things on his mind, I don't know how he can even cope with all of this chaos and throughout his four-year term. The Democrats never let up with him, going in right in the early years of talking about Russian collusion, and you know that story, and how they just were relentless in their criticism of him, no matter what he did. And yet he was able to manage to do a lot of the things that we wanted him to do, namely build the wall, at least partially build the wall, and hopefully in another term would finish it off, to crack down on illegal immigration, to reduce taxes. I'm not going to read off the litany that we were happy with him for, but they apparently, the Democrats and the what we call the establishment Republicans, didn't particularly appreciate that. So now we have to determine who do we want to support. And now, of course, with this chaos that took place on Wednesday, the 6th, that they now want to blame him for that and start an impeachment proceedings this coming week, when he only has about 10 days left in his presidency. So it's, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, ladies and gentlemen. So give me a call. Let me know your thoughts. I'll give you the number again. It's 914-803-4379. 914-803-4379. Now, I have talked about what I see as the root cause of these problems is that the Marxists have infiltrated all our institutions, both governmental institutions, our educational institutions, possibly even our religious institutions, and they've gradually, like a cancer, have spread in the courts, schools, media. The media is probably the number one problem where the Marxists are having their way. We don't have an objective media reporting. I would suggest that we get more people like Project Veritas is James O'Keefe. And by the way, he was on the train when we headed back to Boston. He was on the train. I didn't get to talk to him, but I understand he got off at Connecticut, and we kept going on to Boston, but he was on the train. We also met Vernon Jones, and he's a Democratic legislator in Georgia, and he met us after the siege of the Capitol started, and he wanted us to be careful because of the situation was very turbulent, and this was getting near the afternoon, around 5 o'clock, and of course, the mayor of Washington, D.C. eventually put in a curfew at 6 o'clock, which wasn't adhered to right away, but eventually people headed back to their places to get away from the chaos. So, this is what went on, ladies and gentlemen. Not good, not good at all, but where do we go from here? We have to stay with it. We can't. You never give up, as Rush Limbaugh says, you never panic. And we'll be listening to him tomorrow. And by the way, I wanted to quote, I'm not excusing the ones that may have gone to extreme measures to voice their opposition. But I remember Gerald Celante of the Trends Journal making the comment quite a bit he makes it. He says, when people have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And that, I think, is apropos for this. But I'm not excusing the ones that stormed the Capitol and did the damage. And I understand that was done on the in the area where the main group was. I didn't see people breaking in. I'm not sure they could break in. I saw them charge down and just ascend the steps, but it wasn't the big entrance, which was over where the you could see the Washington Monument and the reflecting pool. That was the larger crowd. And that one is where the videos that I'm looking at show the people breaking in and people sitting at Pelosi's desk. And then there were 5 deaths. One woman was killed and shot by the Capitol Police. And I understand one Capitol policeman died. I think they said he was hit with a fire extinguisher. And then there were two or three that died of medical problems, the heart attack or stroke. The woman that was killed was a young woman, and she was right up there doing what she thought was right, I assume. So it was not good. And the president, I still maintain that he did not support that. His speech was very positive in that you have a right to protest and to peacefully assemble. He did not advocate any violence at all. So this is the way we'll leave it tonight, as we're coming into the non-live portion of the show pretty soon. But you have to form your own judgment. I'm saying that the main culprit are the Marxists. You can see how they acted out in Seattle and Washington. Seattle, Washington, and Portland, Oregon. And we were nowhere near that level of disgusting protesting. So do your due diligence. Make your own determination. I do want to give a thumbs up to Josh Hawley, who was the first senator to decide to object to the vote count, along with about 140 House of Representative members. And of course, the count had stopped. And then when the violence occurred, they were in the process of counting. But eventually, the announcement was made that that President Biden and Kamala Harris were successful in winning the offices of president and vice president, and the vote was the same as it was before the any change was made due to the six or seven states that were being contested. So this does not make the people very happy. We had 75 million or more, maybe 100 million people that are very unhappy with the way this election took place. And they're going to continue to be that way until the justice is served. I do want to say, read off Josh Hawley's post on his website. You can go to it. Josh Hawley, U.S. Senator from Missouri. Hawley on Biden-Nazi comparison is undignified, immature, and intemperate behavior. U.S. Senator Josh Hawley issued the following statement responding to President-elect Joe Biden's comparison of him and Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, to a Nazi propagandist. President-elect Biden has just compared me and another Republican senator to Nazis. You read that correctly. Think about that for a moment. Let it sink in because I raised questions in the format prescribed by the law of the United States about the way elections were conducted in the state of Pennsylvania, just as Democrats did about other states in 2001, 2005, 2007, 2017. He is calling me a Nazi. This is undignified, immature, and intemperate behavior from the president-elect. And by the way, the president-elect is supposed to be asking for us to come together when his rhetoric is anything but that. It is utterly shameful. He should act like a dignified adult and retract these sick comments. And every Democrat member of Congress should be asked to disavow these disgusting comments. Well, it looks like we've already used up all the time without even being able to go to the non-live portion. Timing goes by so quick. So I want to wish you a good night and good health. And we will be seeing you in 2 weeks, which the next show is on January 24th. We'll talk some more about this. There'll be some more information about the impeachment. So God bless you all, and God bless America. Good night, everyone. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, looks like we still have some more time here. This clock on my computer is giving me a little difficulty, but I'm going to just read to you a poem, my favorite poem, which I suggest we all pay attention to. And the poem is, the name of the poem is If by Rudyard Kipling. And he says, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your masters, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stooping, build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but not none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. So appropriate for these days, and something to meditate on, I believe. So, again, watching the clock. It looks like I still have time. And I will read a little bit about Scott Lively, what he had to say. I don't think he was at the rally, but he did have an interesting comment to make. If I can find that. He does an article on WorldNet Daily. So this was an article that he did. He talks about, so here we are, approximately 100 million patriots chafing under the rank tyranny of a COVID-19 puppet masters, aghast at both the enormity of the election fraud and the top-to-bottom complicity of our criminal judicial system in condoning and perpetuating it, infuriated at the audacity of the COVID and election cover-ups by the lying news media and their co-conspirators and social media, smoldering with righteous anger over the rub-it-in-your-face impunity of the entire blatantly criminal network still running free, charges simply dropped or never filed, while patriotic whistleblowers exposing their crimes are intimidated and punished. There is no peaceful resolution of this crisis. There is no short-term return to normal. There is only a season of warfare of some kind, perhaps bloody, hopefully not, and then the restructuring of our government and culture through the active purging of the losing side from the seats of power. Again, perhaps bloody, hopefully not. I think he's saying there, ladies and gentlemen, that there is time to act with righteous indignation and do what is necessary to right a wrong. Our founding father said that the people, when the government no longer serves the people have a right to abolish it. We are law-abiding citizens, but we will not allow our country to be taken away from us, and everybody has to decide how they want to deal with that problem. We went there again because we believed that the vote was fraud. We did not go there to engender any violence. But Dr. Lively is saying that there are times when we the people have to take the necessary steps to correct the evil that has penetrated into our institutions and way of life. So you have to do your due diligence on everything and decide how you want to go. But we know how Marxism has worked in other places in the history of our planet, in particular the Soviet Union, communist state, the North Korea, the countries Venezuela, and down through history, Marxism continues to raise its ugly head, and we have to deal with it and trust in God. So I'm going to leave you with that thought. God bless you all, and God bless America. Good night again, everyone.